Good evening. I always appreciate it when I get to come back home here, because I will always consider this congregation my home. And I appreciate every one of you for supporting me as I go through the Memphis School of Preaching. It has been a privilege and an honor to go through this school and learn under these men. And as I get to the end of my schooling, I'm ready to go, but I also want to stay sometimes. Then you just don't get an environment like that where you get to study God's Word all day. And it's a wonderful thing, and I really appreciate you for helping send me there. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, "Go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath created great whoredom, departing from the Lord." Hosea chapter 1 and verse 2. The point of this sermon is to show God's desire for us to repent. And the text is found in Hosea chapter 1, if you'd like to turn there. Hosea is a book predicting the punishment of the children of Israel. After years of disobedience, it was finally time for their reckoning. In chapter 1 of Hosea, the three children of Gomer are listed, and that's the title for this sermon, The Children of Gomer. Names were given to these children that were prophecies that would come to pass for the children of Israel. We will take a look at these names and how they pertain to a Christian life today. Jezreel, God will sow. Lo Ruhamah, no mercy. And lo Ammi, not my people. And finally, we will look at the promised redemption that is found in Hosea chapter 3. Jezreel, God will sow. In verses 3 through 5, it reads, "So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, Call his name Jezreel. For yet a little while I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel." This is a very interesting thought that deserves careful consideration. God will sow punishment on Israel for their sins. And more specifically mentioned is the sins of Jehu, who mercilessly and overdid the destruction of Ahab's house. The kingdom of Israel would cease, and while Judah eventually came back, there would never again be a kingdom of Israel. They were done. They had overdone, and you know the point of having Judah still. Judah had done worse than Israel, but God had a plan for Judah to bring his son. So Judah was necessary. Israel had overdid their sin. They just, you think about what they did and the sins they committed, and it's grotesque. Chemosh and Molech being the specific ones that come out of my mind, where they would take an infant, a baby who was newly born, put them on the hands of an altar and let them roll towards a belly that was heated. It was a molten hot belly, and they would burn to death. And they would do this to their children. It reminds me of America today and how we treat our innocents. They deserved what they were getting. You remember Jeroboam when he came to be a king in Israel. He said, "It's too hard for you to go to Jerusalem. That's too far." So he didn't want his kingdom to leave him. So he said, "That's too far. Just stay here. See, I've set up these golden calves. These are who brought you out of Egypt." And they worshiped those calves. And they worshiped Baal, Molech, Chemosh. Gods that required them to commit fornication. Gods that required them to get drunk. Drunkenness was, and all of these horrid sins that they committed to worship these idol gods when they had the true God. But they decided, "I'm going to worship this thing because it makes me feel good." And I put emphasis on the word thing. "I'm going to worship this block of wood." So because of their sins, God was going to sow punishment. Lo Ruhamah, no mercy. Verses 6 and 7, and she conceived again and bare a daughter. Look carefully at that. You remember in verse 3, so he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. That's not what this says in verse 6. It says, and she conceived again and bare a daughter. Not bear him a daughter, but bear a daughter. This seems to give the conclusion that this was not Hosea's child. And God said unto him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, and I will utterly take them away, but I will have mercy on the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Again, I state, it should be noted that this is not Hosea's child. It does not appear in the text. The wording is too specific in Scripture. She bare him a son, and then she bare a daughter. It gives the impression that the child is not Hosea's. No mercy is the punishment for Israel's iniquity. They would not be shown mercy. If you think about the atrocities committed by those nations which conquered Israel and then Judah, Assyria and then Babylon, they were wicked and horrid people that would capture them. They were not people that showed mercy. And they didn't. They did not show mercy against the people of Israel. However, Judah would receive mercy. God said, okay, Israel, you're done. But Judah, I have a purpose for you. I have a purpose for you to bring forth my son. I have a purpose. So that is why Judah would receive mercy. And also because they had a few good kings. They had kings that tried to do the right thing. They had 5 good kings, and then they had, well, 5.5 really, because Manasseh repented and tried to fix what he did. But Israel had placed themselves in a position where they would receive no mercy from God. Let us make sure we do not find ourselves in that same position to receive no mercy. We cannot get in that position. We must strive day by day to not put ourselves in this position. Lo a me, not my people. Now when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, call his name Lo-Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Israel had turned itself. It had turned its back on God, and thus were no longer behaving like God's people. So God did not recognize them as such. Sometimes we put ourselves in the same position, that God will sow punishment without mercy because we do not behave like his people. However, if we repent, God will gladly take us back. Not my people. That sounds familiar from verses in the New Testament when God's talking about someone who thinks they're a Christian. But then God says, depart from me. I never knew you. Not my people. You are not my person. You do not belong to the people of God. You do not belong in the kingdom because you weren't faithful. Because you let sin reign in your life. Because you did not follow me in the proper way. You did not follow the steps which I gave you in this simple word, in this simple book. It's a book simple enough that even I can understand it. You did not follow me, so depart from me. I never knew you. God gives us so many chances. Let's turn to Hosea chapter 3. Let's give you some hope. Hosea chapter 3. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who looked to other gods and loved flagons of wine. This was a woman who was in whoredoms. She was a harlot. She was a prostitute. She was battered, broken, and beaten. She was in a position where she was no longer in control. As you'll look in the next verse, she was being sold as a prostitute. She was battered, beaten, and broken. And let's look at this next verse. This is Hosea's wife, and he says, "So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for an omer of barley and an half omer of barley. And I said unto her, Thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king and without a prince and without a sacrifice and without an image and without an ephod and without teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days." Hosea's own marriage is an example of redemption. And I'd like to paint this picture for you. Let's think of Christ. We were in a position where we were broken. We were battered. We were beaten. We were as that man who was on his way to Jericho that the Good Samaritan had to help, left for dead. There was no hope. There was no salvation. We needed to be bought. And God looked at us and he said, "You know, you owe a debt." We sing a song, "He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt. I owed a debt I could not pay. So I owed a debt." And God said, "I'm going to buy you back." He sends his son. His son is beaten. He's mocked. They take a flagrant that is embedded with glass, metal, and bone, and they rake it across his back. They put a robe on his back after that, which would bind the wounds until they ripped it off, reopening every single wound that had been accumulated from the scourging. They put a crown of thorns on his head, and I used to think, you know, they just placed that on his head in a mocking manner, is the way I thought about it, but that's not the way they did it. They beat it into his head with a reed. They beat the crown of thorns. You see, the Romans were experts at what they were doing. They wanted to torment people in every way they could. So they made him carry the instrument of his death, the cross. And he couldn't carry it the whole way. He had to have help. Then he was nailed to that most likely splintery piece of wood. They wouldn't have made sure that was sanded down, make it smooth. It would have been a rough piece of wood that he would have been nailed to, and then he would have died slowly from suffocation. His body would force himself to get a breath from seizures, basically. God said he would buy us back, and the price was his son. Gomer, who played the harlot and bore two children that were apparently not Hosea's, was lovingly taken back when she repented and returned to Hosea. Just picture yourself in her position, because that's where we were. We were in that position of the harlot, the person that was broken, beaten, and battered. And God said, "I will buy you back because you are my child and I want you. I want you to be saved." When we return to God, who desires all to repent, we will be taken back with open arms. 2 Peter 3:9, "For God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We serve a wonderful God, don't we? We serve a loving God who's willing to take us back in our lowest moments. And we should remember this sobering account when we sin. God will always take us back to it when we repent. And it is very comforting to know that no matter how far we've fallen, no matter what we've done, no matter how much we've sinned, God will take us back when we repent. This account of Hosea is a wonderful reminder of God's forgiveness. Because this is what he was willing to do for his people. And I would like to leave you this evening with a charge. Turn with me to Amos chapter 5. The book of Amos chapter 5. Verse 4, 5, and 6. And I'd like to conclude with this. For thus saith the Lord God, for thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal will surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. These are places of false worship. This is going in a different way than God hath commanded. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. So we have two choices presented. Seek the Lord and live. Seek Satan and die. There are no other options, and it is that simple. The choice should be the simplest choice we ever make. But sometimes it isn't. So let us consider carefully where we are in position to God tonight. Consider yourself, because I cannot tell just by looking at you, your spiritual condition. Look at your own life. Look at your soul. Look at how you've lived and say, am I being a faithful child of God? Am I in sin? Am I faithful? Am I even a Christian? And if you need to fix that, you've heard the word, Romans 10, 17. If you believe the word, John 3, 16, repent, Acts 2, 38, confess, Romans 10, 9, and are baptized into Christ, Acts 8, 36 through 40, you can be a faithful child of God. You can be a child of God, but you have to remain faithful, Revelation 2, 10. So be a child of God. Make that commitment. It is the greatest commitment you can ever make in your life. If you've done that already, but you haven't been living faithfully, you haven't been following Revelation 2:10, you have abandoned God, you're in that position of the harlot where you've abandoned God and you need out. You need help. Repent and God will forgive. And he's bought you back. He's paid the price. Take advantage of it. If there is anything you need this evening, do not hesitate. We do not know if we have another moment. Please come while we stand and while we sing.